Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, powered by Green Legion Radio. Download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to this show crystal clear anywhere worldwide. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. I'm broadcasting live from our iHeartRadio studios in Ballard-Kinwood, Pennsylvania, with my man Slash. Super Sam Brady is down at the shore. We're all over the place because my co-host, Greg Murphy, is up at Citi Field in Flushing, New York, as the Phillies look to take on the New York Mets this afternoon at 1:40. Zach Wheeler versus Chris Bassitt. Let's get over to my man now. Murph, what's going on? How you feeling this morning?
Feeling good. Phils and Mets, the rubber match here at Citi Field this afternoon. And you know what? Coming into this series, Rob Thompson was talking about how excited he was, not just to see his team against the Mets at this point. In fact, he kind of downplayed that part of it. But what he was excited about was seeing these six starting pitchers pitch in this series. And so far, the first four have not disappointed. They have been absolutely outstanding, and another great pitching matchup today with Wheeler and Bassitt. Advantage Phillies, if you ask me, here in game three. But, you never know how it's going to play out. But it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, the weather has been perfect, both Friday night and Saturday night. I was sitting out last night on the patio. A buddy of mine came over, was smoking a couple cigars on the patio, having a couple beers. And I'll tell you, like, it was just, it felt like, to me, that is the best feeling of summer. Like, it's a Saturday night. It's in the mid 70s. I got the radio on. I've got my good buddy Scott Fransky, sitting right next to me. And that right there is the soundtrack of the summer. And, man, like they were painting the picture for me. I was texting my dad during the game, like at the end. And, he's watching it on TV. So I'm on a bit of a delay. And I was like, man, this is it. Like pennant race baseball down the stretch here. The Phillies are playing great baseball. Another fantastic week, which we'll dive right into. But I can only tell, like, from how I was hearing it last night on the radio, how it had to feel to be inside the ballpark the last two nights, Murph. You being there with the team, has to be an incredible feeling for you, knowing, hey, it's packed house at Citi Field back to back nights, and it's going to be again this afternoon.
Yeah, they had 43,000 here last night. It was a sellout last night, 38,000 on Friday night. Really loud, great energy. You talk about, I know we're only in August right now, but the weather was a little cooler this weekend, so it gave you that fall kind of autumn feel.
A little bit of a crisp.
It always feels like the postseason when you're playing baseball in that kind of weather. And it felt like the postseason here at Citi Field, and it should, because these are two teams that are destined, hopefully, certainly the Mets, but hopefully the Phils as well for the postseason. And it absolutely had that kind of feel to it. Friday night was just an awesome game. Obviously, the Phils end up winning that game, so we enjoyed that one a little bit more. Last night, a terrific baseball game. Phils couldn't get the offense going, but Jacob DeGrom was filthy, and the bullpen did just enough for the Mets. So, but like I said, game three here, win a series up here in New York, and then head on to Cincinnati. The Phillies would take that, absolutely take that, two out of three here, and they've got a real good shot of doing that today.
Absolutely. Our first segment is brought to you by our good friends at State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Avuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Avuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012. That is 856-740-5012. For your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. First and foremost, before we dive in to our ticket giveaway, I'd like to wish my dad a happy birthday. His birthday is tomorrow, Monday, August 15th. I know my dad is probably listening right now, and I'm probably going to get a text message for giving this out, but it's a milestone birthday for my father this year. My dad turned 60 years old, and You know, so Dad, happy birthday. I love you. Looking forward to spending time with you at the beach next Monday, the 22nd. And I hope you enjoy your day as always, especially in retirement. You can't get any better than that, right, Murph?
I wouldn't know, yeah, but I have 17 jobs, so I don't know anything about retirement. But yeah, happy birthday, Papa Zach. Congratulations, and keep on keeping on, right?
No doubt about it. I need another 20 to 25 out of you there, Fred. So
absolutely.
No doubt about it. So, all right. So, listen, we gave away tickets last week for this upcoming Phillies-Mets game on Friday, August 19th at 7:05. I figured, why not? Listen, let's give another pair away for that game because it's a huge game. It's a big weekend series. There's going to be four games next week. They got a doubleheader on Saturday. Murph, it miffs me a little bit here, the simple fact that the Phillies and the Mets are playing each other for the last time next weekend. Like, how is there
no... I'm all right with that.
Well, you might be. I get it. We want as much. You know, we want that easier part of the schedule towards the end of the season. And the Mets, you know, we've been playing them really tight the last couple series that we've been playing against them. But at the same time, I'm like, man, like I can't believe this is it. You know, like you think you're Major League Baseball, you want those Yankees Red Sox games towards the end of the season. Like Phillies Mets to me, it's not as much of a feel. Like for us, it is that much of a feel. But you know, Major League Baseball is missing out on capitalizing on that towards the end of the season. But nonetheless, we want your butt in those seats on Friday night for that big matchup between the Phillies and the Mets. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section on the Green Legion YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Friday night's game against the Mets is followed by a I Love the 90s postgame concert. Name something that is synonymous with the 90s. Murph, I know you got your top five.
Oh, I could have given you 35 from the 90s, to be quite honest with you. I do have my top five. I'll go chalk almost on, and I'll give you my one, but I think you have to include it. So I was in 93. I was 22 years old, turning 23, got my first job, out of college. And I ended up getting engaged and you know, got married soon thereafter. So at that point, we got a car, and in the car, bolted into the dashboard, was a telephone. And that was unheard of. I mean, it was a car phone, right? It's not a mobile phone. You couldn't take it out of the car, you know, but it was bolted to the dashboard. But, man, I would drive around, and I would make phone calls, you know.
Man, you felt all big. Yeah, you.
Oh, I thought I was a high roller, you know. And so car phones, right? That was a thing right in the mid, you know, early to mid-90s, and at least it was for me. Maybe they came out 10 years before that. I have no idea. But for me, that's when I got one, and the technology was relatively new. Soon they had the bag phones where you could take them out of the car, and then, of course, flip phones and mobile phones, and here we are. But so that's a memory of mine as it was the first new car I ever had, too. And so that was kind of a cool thing. So car phones, and you could throw pagers on there, too, because I had a pager at the time as well. So car phones and pagers, the 1990s.
Listen, I'm going to take the moment real quick to eliminate one because my best friend Chad is in the room and he said, can Monica and Bill win 2 weeks in a row?
No,
we're eliminating that one right off the top. Thanks, Chad, for bringing that about. Now, we had a little bit of Green Legion Radio flavor last week on the show. All right, so we're going to eliminate that one. For me, and I was saying this earlier, I when I think of the 90s, there's a lot of things you think about when you think about the 90s, but what really came about was boy bands. I mean, you know, like that at the time, like that was a big thing.
I don't think of that. That's not something
I know. It's not a top five list for you, but like for me, like the late 90s was like Total Request Live, you know, Carson Daly, the top 10 videos, and what dominated the videos every single week were the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, O-Town. Like these were big things back in the day, and the girls were all about it, you know. So yeah, to me, boy bands. But I look at the other side of the table here. Slash, do you have some mic capabilities over there, or would you like me to announce yours? Yeah, he wants to say the grunge movement.
That I agree with.
The grunge movement.
Like, I think of the 90s, I think of Kurt Cobain. I remember where I was when I heard that he died. You know, I mean, that was big in the 90s in my world, was that grunge movement. I agree with that. I couldn't name a boy band, and I didn't know that was big in the 90s.
Chad just brought out one that's like way throwback, Together. You remember that one? Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Total Request Live and all that good stuff.
I do remember Total Request Live.
All right. So get in now. I don't think Murph can't hear your sound effects.
I cannot.
Oh, God. So get in on the board right now. Something that is synonymous with the 90s. There's so many options, so many things to go by. And Murph will give us our top five when we get into our last segment as well. Out of the box for this week, since our last show last Sunday at Xfinity Live, which I have to say this again, and Slasher and I were talking about this before the show. Thank you so much to everybody that was out there for the show. That was so cool, Murph. I mean, like... Slash was saying, he's like, you know, I was so proud to produce that show because people were walking in through the doors and instead of going to the bar, which is probably something I would have done. They stood there and they listened to the show and they took it in and they enjoyed it. And, you know, we got a lot of laughs on the show last week and it was so cool just to see everybody down there. I would love to see that again next week down there. It's going to be a big series with the Mets. Make sure I want 44,000 people in that stadium that day, Murph. And I would love to have another big crowd for us.
I think you'll have it, and I think we'll have a good crowd too, because I think people are getting excited about this team, as they should. I mean, this team, I think, has gotten past the point of, is it an anomaly? Are they just playing well for a short period of time? They're going to go back in the tank. They're going to start losing to bad teams again. I think, for the most part, they've gotten over fans, I'm talking about. I've gotten over that mental hurdle of the disappointment that we've seen over the last couple of years, and they're starting to believe in this team. And I think that's fair, because I think – you just have to look at the starting pitching and the bullpen for this team to really start to believe. Because when you have those two entities at pitching, you know, at a high level, which the Phillies do, it really is easier to sustain, you know, these winning streaks and to avoid these long losing streaks. I mean, you know, you have a guy pitched last night in Aaron Nola. You lose the game, but now you have Zach Wheeler coming back today. So, you know, you think to yourself, okay, you know, and Aaron certainly, I mean, pitched well beyond.
He was not the reason why we lost.
No, he was outstanding. So I think folks are getting excited about it, and I think that's why we're seeing the crowds obviously increase in Citizens Bank, but why we're seeing them stop and listen to the show as well, because people want to talk about this team. People want to hear about this team, because I think we're starting to gear up for what might be a pretty special September.
No doubt about it. So over the last week, 4-2, completing a sweep of the Nationals last Sunday, which was pretty interesting in its own part because, you know, Pete Rose being out there and some of the things that he might have said on a broadcast. But, hey, you know, we'll do what we got to do there. Taking 2-3 against the Marlins, splitting the first two with the Mets, 10.5 back for the NL East. And I know last week we were saying that Rob Thompson continues to say what the goal is. The goal is to win the NL East. But, you know, that's where it's at right now as far as where the Phillies stand. 5 games behind the Braves for the top wildcard spot. There's still a half game up on the Padres for the second wildcard spot and 1.5 games ahead of the Brewers in that area. So I haven't really heard much this past week. Is there any further update on Bryce Harper? And while we're talking about Bryce Harper, let's talk about another corner outfielder. Kyle Schwarber had a mild right calf strain in Thursday's game, left the game early, didn't play on Friday night. And then Saturday, he had a pinch hit appearance in the eighth inning. What's the update on him? When can we expect to see him back out in left field as well?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when we'll see him back out in left field. Obviously, he's available. He pinched it last night, as you mentioned. They put him through the paces kind of yesterday on the field doing some running drills and some quick stops and starts. He looked like he was doing well with those. It didn't look like he was in any, you know, serious discomfort. So, you know, it is a mild calf strain. They certainly don't want to aggravate it. So they're going to give him time, not in the lineup again today. But he's there, you know, he's a threat off the bench at this point, and it doesn't look like he's headed to the injured list. So I don't think that's an issue, going forward, honestly.
Okay. And then on, the Bryce end of things, how are we progressing through his rehab?
Yeah, so Bryce is obviously not with us here on the road. He's back home working with the training staff back in Philadelphia, continuing the process. You know, I've said all along, you know, and again, this is me speculating. I don't know anything, but I've said all along, I thought right around September 1st is when we would see him back in the lineup. I mean, he still has to go out on a rehab assignment. That's going to take a week or so. I wouldn't be surprised if, what are we, the 14th today, that, you know, by this time next week, they're talking about sending him out on a rehab, and he takes about a week, you know, to do that, and then we're looking right at that September 1st date. So, you know, he's progressing, but it's a slow process. It's really all about the thumb at this point. It's all about getting the flexibility and the ability to hit. I don't expect to see him in right field for the remainder of the season. I don't think that's going to be an option, and I don't think that's a terrible thing. As long as he's able to get his timing back at the plate, he can help this team. And I think that's what they're thinking. I think that's what he's thinking as well. And again, this is me speculating. I don't have an inside knowledge on any of that. You know, Bryce has been very careful about putting a timetable on all of this, because he just doesn't want to, the expectations to be hanging over the head. So, I know he's working hard and trying to get back. No one wants to get back into this lineup more than he does. So I think we're probably about 2 weeks away from that.
You know, it's funny. I don't want to sit here and smack around anybody's opinions or whatnot, but I had somebody on my Facebook post yesterday morning saying, like, what with the way the team's going right now and they're capable of getting to the playoffs, why wouldn't Bryce, like, if ideally the, you know, where you want to get to is you want to get into the first week of November, but why are they pushing him to come back this season when if he got the Tommy John surgery, which is what he's going to need, he'll be back by the All-Star break next year? I'm like, listen, Bryce is a competitor. He's going to be back out there regardless of how it goes. But I'm thinking about this year. Like, this team yeah, can get into the playoffs this year and do damage this year, and they can do damage even more so tenfold with a Bryce Harper in the middle of that lineup, which lengthens it even more. And if you don't think, and I didn't say this yesterday, but I thought about it while I was mowing the lawn yesterday, if you don't think that Bryce knows that when he left the Washington Nationals, he came to Philadelphia, they won a World Series without him in 2019, and they haven't made the playoffs with him yet, and then they get to the playoffs this year, and, you know, lo and behold, they win without him. Like, no, Bryce is too key of a piece on this team, and he's too much of a competitor. This team is way better, and this is coming from where they've been over the last couple months and the last month and a half without him. There's no doubt that he's going to come back, and we're not thinking about 2023. I'm thinking about doing it this year, Murph. Like, let's not think too far ahead. Let's do it in October this year.
Yeah, here's what I'll say to your Facebook poster. That's a really dumb thing to say. And it just is.
I'll let you lay that out there.
Well, I mean, it is. If you know anything about professional athletes, if you know anything about Bryce Harper, if you know anything about this Phillies organization, everything that was in that post was wrong. You know, first of all, they're not pushing him to come back. He's pushing himself to get back. He wants to be a part of this. And if he's healthy enough to play, he's one of the best players on the planet. The team wants him back, and he's going to play. And what's going to happen in the offseason with the elbow, that remains to be seen. He may be headed for Tommy John surgery. But an extra couple of weeks getting the surgery now and taking him out of a postseason run, that's ridiculous. That's an absolutely ridiculous thought. If he can play, they need him back. They want him back. And that's where they are headed. Now, we got to wait and see. Hopefully he is back, you know. I believe he will be. Certainly the team does too, and I know Bryce believes he'll be back. So yeah, let's pump the brakes on Dr. Facebook post over there.
Cut that promo for me, Slash. Right? Slash is writing it down. Just real quick, as a sidebar here with Kyle Schwarber, last night they ran into an issue when he pinch hit from Matt Vierling, and they had to put Garrett Stubbs out in left field for an inning. Is that something that we're going to see more of, as far as like, or like, are they going to maybe option somebody down in the bullpen to bring up some outfield depth? Because if he's not going to be playing the next few days, you're going to have limited outfield depth, especially in the corners.
Yeah, you know, you said issue. I don't know if I'd classify it as an issue or not. Garrett Stubbs is a pretty good athlete. You know, you're putting the guy out there. Yeah, I know he's not an outfielder, but he's been getting work out there, and he can probably hold it down for the time being. I don't think they would option a bullpen arm down to bring up another outfielder. Those guys are just too valuable out there, and I think they believe, you know, they need each and every arm that they have out there. So I think they feel comfortable enough with Stubbs out there in a pinch, which is exactly what it was last night. So I don't think we'll see a lot of it. You know, Rob Thompson and his staff will be careful to manage it and figure out how they can get through it. If Kyle was, you know, injured to the point where they thought, all right, we're not going to get him back, they would put him on the IL. You know, it would just make sense. So hopefully the fact that he's not on the IL means he's getting close to getting back in there and being able to run around. So, yeah, I think for the short term, that's what you're going to see. And I, like I said, I'd be shocked if, when it's all said and done, if we sit back and go, oh, geez, Garrett Stubbs out left field costs us two games kind of thing. Probably not going to happen, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you for that. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and its surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. That was probably the fastest first segment we've had here on Public Baseball Brunch. And we have so much more content to tackle in the next segment, as well as we're going to talk a little bit at the end of that segment after we talk more Phillies about a certain player in Major League Baseball being suspended 80 games. Pure stupidity, if you ask me. Right here, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Yes! Welcome back. Second segment here on this beautiful Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Ah. It's unfortunate you didn't hear that one there, Murph. It's, man, it hit.
I got it right here.
Dude,
I
had to let the drums go before I even could talk. Dave Grohl, one of the greatest of all time, one of the greatest musicians of all time. I can't wait for the Foo Fighters to get back on the road eventually. You know, obviously, they're going to have to replace Taylor Hawkins at some point along the line. But what a truly great musician to go from Nirvana and now to be the head man of Foo Fighters over the last 20-plus years. It's been an incredible run for him, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like, you know, we were talking about, I guess maybe it was before the show. No, it was on the show. Nirvana, for me, in the 90s, that whole grunge movement and Kurt Cobain and everything, that was a big part of my college days and then a big part of my, you know, years after college as well.
So ladies' man Murph was a grunge Murph back in the day.
Well, you know, I had my fair share of flannel. You know? and long hair.
So you were Al Borland before Al Borland. Which was, speaking of the 90s, Tool Time. There you go.
There you go.
Home Improvement, huh? Hey, listen, the weather is still great, and it's going to be great for the next few weeks. That's why you got to go check out our friends over at the Ludlum Bar and Grill, 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. The old fantastic. You guys have to get down there and drink the La Costa lemonade. I'm still jonesing for it. I need more of it. I'm going to have to get down there before the season is over. Check out ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. Listen, we were talking about, during the break, we were talking about how great the writers are for the Phillies. And while we were talking about that, we were talking about how great Jim Salisbury and Todd Zielecki and, you know, Scott Lauber, how great those. You brought up Matt Gelb. And the funny thing is, I saved this the other day, that Friday, and he tweeted this out, was the sixth time since 1962 that the Phillies and Mets would play each other while both clubs were 13-plus games over 500. Just six times. It hasn't happened since September 7th, 2008. Now, for me, that date is important. Why? Because I had tickets for the sixth, and it was a rain game, so it was rained out, and I went up there, and the Phillies were already on Sunday Night Baseball. It was supposed to be Cole Hamels versus Johan Santana that night, so they pushed back that game to Sunday afternoon, the Saturday game, and it was Pedro Martinez and Jamie Moyer, and the Phillies, there was a lot of Phillies fans that during the day game. Like, we completely took over Shea Stadium, and they were the last two games ever at Shea Stadium between the Phillies and the Mets, and then we decided to stick around for the nightcap, so we were like, all right, cool. cool. Let's go to the game that night. We went out to dinner. We came back and saw Cole Hamels, and the Mets won that night. They won the last game between the Phillies and Mets at Shea. And I came out to my, we used to call it the tailgate machine, my 95 GMC Jimmy. And I had a Chase Utley decal installed in the back window. And I don't think it went over well in Queens. Because when I came back out to my truck that night, the side view mirror on my Jimmy is hanging on the driver's side by the cord that's hooked up. So I had to drive home, and it was raining that night on the way home. So I had to put it inside, and I had like a small gap between the window and that cord. And I'm getting rained on the driver's seat of my 95 Jimmy. But it was a great time. I feared for my life that night because we sat in the very last row up in left field by the foul pole and up against the chain link. And oh man, it was it was definitely a complete crap show. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a great memory, you know, that since you made it home safely, it's a great memory. You know what's interesting about that stat, and I we should give credit. So Matt Gelb asked the question, and our PR staff here at the Phillies were able to track down that information, Chris Ware. And the interesting thing about that stat, about being 13 games over 500 and facing one another, I mean, to me, you think to yourself, well, these teams have faced each other a ton when they've both been good, but they really haven't. Four of those first five happened in 2008. Two happened in the same series. So it's almost like it's really only happened twice. Now three times. So it happened in 1976. Both teams were really good, right? Phillies were really good, and the Mets were pretty good. They were, you know, over 500, 13 plus. But, and then it happened in 08, where both teams, well, 07, you know, both teams were good in 07, but it happened in 08 four times, and now it's happened here in 2022. To me, it's remarkable the amount of times that the Phillies and Mets have gotten together and the rivalry that exists between these two. They really haven't been good at the same time very often. And it's kind of cool, which makes this weekend even more fun as we go through it.
And I've said this all along. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. It's just how much fun this is. Three of the top six records in all of baseball reside in the National League East.
Yeah.
And two of them are our biggest rivals, the Mets and the Braves. And you look at that, and it's just like, how cool is this stretch run going to be over the next month and a half, knowing that these three teams are all going to be slugging at it? And yeah, listen, the Mets have a pretty good control right now over the division. But at the same time, like having these three teams going at it and battling and knowing that, hey, listen, as much talk as there's been about the NL West from Dave Roberts being the toughest division and then the American League East and that being the toughest division, I know we're beating up on the Nationals and the Marlins. All three of us are doing our fair share of that. But these three teams are up there in the top six records in baseball for a reason.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, the Mets have had the Phillies number this year. So that's why, you know, getting out of here two out of three in this series is a little bit of a statement for the Phils, you know. And then you come back, and I haven't actually gone and looked at the pitching matchups. You know, we're obviously going to see we'll see Scherzer.
Scherzer on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah.
I don't think they'll see DeGrom. So, and the Mets will see both. Well, they'll see Nola, and I believe they'll see Wheeler.
Wheeler should be on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, again, they come in for four games in 3 days and another chance to kind of make a statement. The Mets are going to win the overall season series with the Phils, but the Phillies certainly can make it a little bit more competitive by winning a couple of these final games.
See, I was looking at Friday night's game as a reason to sit here and further accentuate why this team is becoming a great team. You know, with Schwarber's injury on Thursday afternoon, the Phillies were forced to make some changes with their lineup and their defensive positionals out there on Friday night. And, you know, if the game played out the way that it did, how it did, and like, you know, someone said to me, they're like, oh, well, you know, Schwarber could have hit a solo shot, or he could have hit a home run. He's got great numbers against Scherzer. But if you look at the way that the game played out, I mean, Matt Vierling being in left field and catching that ball in the bottom of the ninth and throwing out Marte at the plate, I don't think Schwarber throws him out at the plate. You know, if he's playing in left field, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have, but that was a perfect throw and a great block right there by JT to make sure he tagged him out. And then if you look at his replacement in the leadoff spot on Friday night was Bryson Stott, who became the first player in Major League history against Max Scherzer to reach base safely four times in the same game against Scherzer. He's 6-for-7 against Scherzer lifetime now. And then he scored both of the Phillies runs. Alec Boehm had both the RBI. It's just like, what makes a great team is being able to utilize everybody on your roster, all 26. And the Phillies are getting contributions from all 26. And that right there, you know, you're already without Bryce Harper. You take Kyle Schwarber out of the lineup, and the Phillies find a way to steal a game that Max Scherzer starts on a Friday night to start off the series in Queens. Phenomenal job by the Phillies and their youngsters.
I agree. And you know, Rob Thompson just continues to press all the right buttons, right? I mean, you know, who's going to lead off without Kyle Schwarber? He said it wasn't even really a thought. It was going to be Stott, no doubt about it.
I would have thought Segura. That was kind of where I was leaning.
Segura certainly was a candidate, and I thought maybe even Vierling because he had done it earlier in the season. But for Rob Thompson, wasn't even a consideration. He told Scott Francis on the pregame show, he said, yeah, it was an easy decision. I said, Stott's going to do it. I told him, you know, he was going to do it. Everybody else kind of stays the same in their comfort zone in that lineup. Stott moves up. It obviously worked out very well for them. So, Rob continues to do it and push those buttons, and it's been fun to watch.
Absolutely. And just a quick sidebar here on Bryson Stott. Since the calendar turned to June, he has proven that he belongs here and what kind of a ball player that he actually is. I was looking at the stats this morning. I was thinking about it yesterday because my dad is a big fan. He's like, I'd really like this kid. And the way that he plays, he's like, I don't want to put a designation on him, but he kind of reminds me of Chase to a certain extent with certain things that he does. Yeah. Very high praise. My dad doesn't like to do that. My dad, like, you know, I'm kind of, you may find this to be a surprise, but I'm the one that likes to go overboard with a lot of things. Especially in my family. My dad doesn't like to go down that road, but Bryson Stott batted 133 in April, 116 in May. Since June, and the batting average is still kind of low, but 238 in June, 226 in July. He had a combined 7 home runs and 25 ribbies during June and July after no home runs and 7 RBI in the first couple months of the season. Now he's batting 351 in August, and we're midway through August. The kid is really showing, and I think he did this last year in the minor leagues, right? Like he kind of, when they transitioned him, he kind of got off to a little bit of a rough start, but then once he got his bearings right, and then he got the winter ball, and he was just tearing the cover off the ball. This right here, I know we've been talking about Boehm and Sir Anthony Dominguez and Ranger Suarez, but the youth movement and Bryson Stott and him being a top prospect, this further just shows that the Phillies have kids here that are going to provide not just for this year and benefit from this year, but they're going to benefit for years to come for them gaining this kind of experience.
Yeah, agree. And I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, Zach, but I had a conversation with Dave Dombrowski in the last 7 days or whatever. And I said, hey, you had to feel pretty good when you looked out at your infield the other day and you saw Derek Hall at first, Nick Maton at second, Bryson Stott at short, and Alec Boehm at third. Four homegrown guys right there in your infield. When was the last time you could say that about a Phillies team? Now, you know, they're not all starters. That was
should have been Scott Rowland with Utley Rollins and Howard, but we didn't get that.
Should have been, right? but it's hard to keep guys like that together. Yeah. And so it was just, it struck us as, you know, an important moment, you know, in the development of the Dave Dombrowski Philadelphia Phillies and the you know, the leadership that goes down through the minor leagues, player development, the drafting, all of that. That's where the Phillies probably needed the most improvement in order to become that team that competes each and every year, which is exactly what they want. That's exactly what they're working for. And they're getting closer and closer to that as the years go on. Over the last couple of years, you've seen a big change. And it's starting to pay off, you know. And it's, again, it's fun to watch. And that's how winning teams do it, because you're able to keep the payroll down a little bit if you're getting young guys to contribute. And that's what you have to do, because then you can add your superstars in here and there and never kind of mortgage the future.
So, you know, the fundamentals of the Phillies have really looked good, in particular since midweek. What are your thoughts, just real quick, on Keith Hernandez and his comments about how he doesn't like to watch the Phillies play? I'm sure he probably has enjoyed watching the Phillies and the Mets play the last couple nights. This team is showing, like, yeah, maybe defensively early on in the season. I know, like, the funny thing is the Phillies have less errors than the Mets. Maybe they don't have as much, like, you know, defensive range as the Mets players do, but, you know, like, like, if you look at it, the Phillies and the Mets had the advantage earlier on in the season. And listen, things have changed with Rob Thomson at the helm since Joe Girardi was fired. But, you know, fundamentally, the Phillies are playing pretty good baseball. And listen, if Keith Hernandez isn't catching up on that, then maybe he needs to stop watching Seinfeld.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. First of all, I think he was kidding when he said it. I believe that. Well, 100%. He said it tongue in cheek. And I think if you go back and listen to it, but then, you know, Gary was egging him on a little bit. And so he doubled down. And, you know, Keith Hernandez is in St. Louis this weekend because he's part of the Cardinals celebration, alumni weekend.
1982
that is
cards.
Why he's not calling the Phillies games. That's a fact. It's not because he asked off, you know. So when you start looking at the facts of the whole story, again, it becomes one of those silly non-stories, in my opinion. However, I know Keith Hernandez a little bit, and he's a funny guy. And I do know that over the lean years of the Phils, you know, the 2014s and 15s and 16s, you know, he would lament that the Phils were a tough team to watch. And, you know, quite frankly, I think we can all agree at times they were a tough team to watch.
I was a season ticket holder.
You know, I think he's still holding on to that a little bit. You can bet, I know it for a fact, he is getting all kinds of reminders of how well the Phils are playing over the last couple weeks and months at this point. So, you know, again, I think he was joking, and then he ran with it kind of thing, and it became a story, and everybody's talking about it, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, all you have to do is look and watch these two teams and know that they're pretty similar at this point in terms of the way they play fundamentally. So,
real quick, Fernando Tatis Jr. suspended 80 games for steroid use, PED use. Your thoughts on that? Because I saw the video clip yesterday. It was probably about 45 seconds, and he got completely bodied by Mike Clevinger and Manny Machado. They took him to task, and that, you know, you let the team down at the beginning of the season when you had your motorcycle accident, and then lo and behold, here we are months later, and they're expecting to get you back, and this is what happens. He's got to grow up, Murph. He's one of the best young players in the game, and to not have him around, in particular down the stretch with that Padres team, and that's good for the Phillies to an extent that they're not getting him back, because it kind of makes things a little bit easier, but this kid has to grow up for the good of the game moving forward over the next 15 years.
Yeah, well, you would hope, you know, and I think you could say that about a lot of people in a lot of walks of life. Baseball's no different, and I was really surprised at how quickly his teammates called him on the carpet. And I think it's great. I think it's great. I think it's great for baseball. I think it's great for Fernando Tatis to hear. And I think it's great that the teammates feel that strongly that they'd come out, because we live in a society now where people don't do that, right? You don't call people on the carpet anymore, even when they deserve to be called on the carpet. And I grew up in a time where you did just that. And so to me, it was really refreshing to watch his teammates be like, look, you know, we're counting on you, and you're letting us down again. And it's unacceptable. When I saw the news, I was floored. I couldn't believe what I was reading. And his general manager, AJ Preller, came out and called him a disappointment, told him that he needed to mature. I mean, they pulled no punches out there in San Diego. They were trying to build a super team to compete with the Dodgers down the stretch, and he blew it. He blew it for the rest of them. Now, it's not to say the Padres can't go deep into the playoffs, because they can. It's a really good team. But to your point, everybody who's chasing them, or everybody who's right in front of them, like the Philadelphia Phillies, it's good news, because he's a great player, and they were going to have a lineup as good as anybody in baseball. Now they're going to be one shy of that. And, you know, it's crazy to think, with all the money that's involved and all, you know, although he won't lose probably a whole lot, so I guess that's not an incentive anymore. But it's just mind-boggling that these guys continue to make these poor decisions, for sure.
You know what's not a poor decision is booking a trip this football season with the Green Legion. You want to make sure that you hop in with us. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston. We're going down to D.C. We're going to boo Carson Wentz. Well, you guys can. But we're going to go down to D.C. for sure. We're going to go up to the Swamp and see the Giants and Danny Dimes. Make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940. It's going to be a great football season. Jalen Hurts looked fantastic in his limited limited action on Friday evening in the Birds preseason opener. It's going to be a lot of fun this football season, and the only place you want to be is with us, the Green Legion, for sure. In our last segment, we're going to have to update us on how we did last week with our picks. We're going to award the tickets for this upcoming Friday's game, and can you believe it? Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back. Final segment here. Beautiful Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley for sure. Make sure you guys get outside. Enjoy this day, but either do it before or after your fighting Phils take on the New York Mets up in Flushing, New York at 1:40 this afternoon. You're not going to want to miss it. Zach Wheeler versus Chris Bassitt. Both have had success against the opposition this season. So it should be another pitcher's duel there in New York. What's the lineup looking like today, Murph? I know you said that Schwarber was not in the lineup. So I'm assuming, is it kind of like the same as yesterday?
If you give me one sec, I can give it to you.
No doubt.
Here we go. Stott, Hoskins, Bohm, Realmuto, back behind the plate on
Sunday.
Wow,
okay.
Yeah. Castellanos, Derek Hall, Segura, Marsh, Wheeling. So, yeah, exactly. Segura back in the lineup today.
Do you think JT talked to Rob Thompson about the fact, like, this is a big statement series for us? Like, I want to be in the lineup on Sunday morning. Was that a conversation that maybe going into the series that they had, or like this morning, last night after the game when they lost? If they would have won last night, would he be in this lineup today?
That's a good question. Perhaps not. I think. That's probably a conversation that doesn't need to be had, right? Because I know Rob Thompson knows JT wants to play. So he doesn't, you know, so it's really at that point, maybe he goes to JT and says before the series, hey, I'm thinking about riding you for three and giving you an off day in Cincinnati. You're going to be cool with that. And JT is going to say, of course. And then when we get to Cincinnati, he'll say, I can play, I think that's probably how it played out. But, we won't know. Had they won last night, maybe JT does sit today. That's a distinct possibility. But, these games, we're getting down to the point where, you want your best nine out there as much as you possibly can. You can't run them into the ground, but you want them out there. And I will say this. I think we've seen the benefit of JT getting a little bit of rest here and there. I think that has helped him over the second part of this season. So they're very mindful of that as well. But like you said, huge game here today. You want your best guy in there if you can, and have Garrett coming off the bench.
Yeah, let's give away these two tickets for this upcoming Friday night's game. It is going to be an homage to the 90s kind of evening. Jazzy Jeff is going to be a part of the post-game concert.
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I'm looking at it right now, Murph. I have 11 candidates here. Right. Why don't you real quick give me your five, because we have so much more to cover and we've got like 9 minutes left.
All right. So here it is real quick for me. All right. I already told you. Car phone pager number five for me. I'm thinking about the 90s and an indelible memory, the 93 team. And when I think about the 93 team, I think about Krucky and his flowing hair. And the guy that pops up in my head from the Braves is Mark Lemke, for whatever reason.
Jeff Blauser? Mark Wallers?
There was a headline. There was a Philadelphia Daily News headline, "What is a Lemke?" when they were playing them. And that's always stuck with me. And, of course, the chop, as you mentioned earlier. I mean, that was the first time that became kind of a national kind of thing. So for all those are together on one, dial-up internet. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Dial-up internet, the noise, the sound, the time it took. I mean, that was huge. It was life-changing.
You've got mail.
But you think back to how bad it was.
Instant messenger. Instant messenger was the greatest form of communication ever. It was text messaging before text messaging.
All right. The next one, Beanie Babies. I won't go in. But here's why. One of my first jobs was selling stuff on QVC, Home Shopping Network. And one of the things I sold were Beanie Babies. So I had to dive into all the collectability of Beanie Babies and what made them special. And people thought these were going to be life-changing investments. And then they turned out to be stuffed animals, which is exactly what I probably would have predicted back then. But Beanie Babies is a big thing for me. And finally, Blockbuster. Or any video store. action video where you had to go to the store and the, they're all lined up in order and you're like, oh, is it? Oh, God, it's empty. We missed it. You know, Friday night, you had to have like six choices because you didn't know if you're going to get your movie. So Blockbuster would be number one for me.
All right. So this is what we have on the list. We have the Discman.
Oh, yeah. Number six for me.
Beanie Babies.
Oh, there you go.
Neon Windbreakers. The L.A. Riots. Airwalks. Zubas. AOL chat rooms. I love the chat rooms. ASL, age, sex, location. Rollerblades. Starter jackets. OJ trial. Microsoft.
Well, for me, I got to go with the one that hit my list. So that was Beanie Babies. So Beanie Babies gets my vote.
Okay. I'm going to go with AOL chat rooms. Slash. You going with me? Back-to-back weeks, I got the tiebreaker. Yeah. Yes.
And you know what? I'm kind of cool with that because, you know, I had the dial-up internet. It kind of all plays together. So that, when you think about the 90s and, you know, changing the world, that really is – Beanie Babies didn't change the world. So we'll give the dial-up internet slash AOL chat rooms the win today. I'm fine with that.
Sounds great. All right, so let's go to our picks now. Sam will put up who won the tickets here in a bit, and then we'll offer our congratulations to them that comes across. All right, so we both went 1-2. We both had 1 point last week. So you didn't make up any ground, but you didn't lose any either. So you're 19-26 now for the season, 24 points. I'm 24-21. 32 points. So, give me your first game.
All right, here we go. Phillies, Mets. Phillies are the underdog today. Plus 115 here at Citi Field. I'm taking the Phillies to win this game as an underdog. Let's go, Phils.
All right, and congratulations, Gina DeMonte. I'm assuming that's how you say your last name. It could be DeMont, but nonetheless, I will go DeMonte for sure. All right, so Atlanta, for me, this is too good of a price not to take, Murph. Minus 130 in Miami. Winners of five in a row, they're getting hot again. To me, minus 130 on the Braves, that's one that you have to have in your ticket against a floundering Miami team.
Second, yeah, I like that pick. That's a good one. All right, Dodgers-Royals, all right, over-under is 9, okay? Tyler Anderson, Brady Singer. Anderson's been outstanding for the Dodgers, and Singer's been pretty good. So I'm taking the under. I think 9's a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers win 8-0. But I think a combined 9 runs, I don't think the Royals are going to score a whole lot. So I'm going under 9.
12 in a row for the Dodgers, by the way. It's insane. Yeah. Another team that's been hot. I believe they won 8 in a row. They lost yesterday for the first time. The Cleveland Guardians. They're an underdog today in Toronto. And, you know, with good reason. I mean, but they're a plus 120. Shane Bieber on the hill for them. Kevin Gausman on the hill for Toronto. Like I just said, I mean, they're hot. To me, they get back on the horse today. They're going to win today in Toronto, win that series. Guardians plus 120. Your last pick.
All right, final pick. Brewers, Cards. Cards are the favorite. Minus 145. It's Michaelis and Ashby. The Brewers beat the Cards last night. I think this is game three of the series, final game of the series. I'm going to take the Cards. I just think they're a better baseball team. And I think the Brewers, you know, I like Michaelis a lot. I think he can really pitch. So minus 145, they're my favorite today, Cardinals.
Okay, my over-under for this week is over 7.5, minus 115. Astros, A's, Cole Irvin and Christian Javier. It's just a feel. This kind of like line for me, 7.5, looks like something you would see for DeGrom and Nola, let alone for these two. To me in Houston, I'm going to go with that. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. On my side of things, it might be minor league baseball. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. So you just mentioned the Dodgers are the first National League team to win 12 straight games by multiple runs since the Pirates have a 13-game win streak that was snapped back on August 13th, 1922. That was the last time that it happened. That was 100 years ago and a day ago.
Wow.
And that's when it happened. And the Dodgers have just gotten to 12. So there you go.
All right. My first one for this week, Mervin, this is why I teased it with the minor leagues. The other day, Cardinals minor leaguer Chandler Redman, he hit the home run cycle. He had a solo shot, a 2-run home run, a 3-run home run, and a grand slam in 4 consecutive innings. It's only been done once before in the minor leagues and never in the major leagues. Yet the Phillies just can't get over the hump. And for the first time in 18 years, it actually someone hit for the cycle and rid myself of David Bell.
It'll happen. All right. Finally, and the Phillies know this all too well, the Mets' Jacob DeGrom in 2022, he's faced 56 batters, 28 strikeouts, and 7 base runners. No other pitcher in the modern era has had a 3-start span where he struck out at least half the batters he faced while having 4 times as many strikeouts as base runners.
Good Lord.
He's been good since he's been back.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, this one is just a quick side fun thing. I had a couple others, but courtesy of Kevin Cooney, the 3 games that everyone fretted about at the beginning of the week against Alcantara, Scherzer, and DeGrom, the Phillies went 2-1 this week against all 3. I know it was tough trotting against those, baseball. But that's baseball. You got something, Slash? Yeah, hold on. Slash has one for us as well. So we got an additional one.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys saw this, but Bryson Stott, the first player in history to reach base 4 times against Max Scherzer. We
already said that. I did see that.
Oh, you did say that?
Yeah. And I saw it with my own 2 eyes. Yeah. It was amazing. You know what? I don't know if that says more about Bryson Stott or if it says more about Max Scherzer. Yeah. It says a lot about both of them, quite frankly.
Yeah, it shows how I'm
into it. Yeah, you think about what Scherzer's been able to do in his career.
Slash, can we cut that for a promo?
I'm sipping my coffee.
All right, so what else do we have this week?
We got our every word.
So yes, absolutely. We got. He doesn't have to worry about this show. Like he doesn't have to hang on every word that we have. Today's rubber game against the Mets, 3 in Cincinnati before an off day on Thursday, and then 4 big ones at home against the Mets next weekend. We have a huge week ahead there, Murph.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we're going to be able to say that every Sunday at this point, Zach. Going
love
forward.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too, right? You know, that's what it's all about. And you know, it's no different. You know, the team will finish up here today. Love to see them get the series win here in New York, as we've said. Head off to Cincinnati, a team that's, you know, it's not the bottom of the barrel, but that's a team that you can probably do some damage against, and you got to continue to beat up on those teams that you're expected to win against. So hopefully they're able to do that. But let's keep it rolling. And the Mets come to town next weekend, so it's going to be fun.
Let's pack the ballpark. Cincinnati. Let's pack the ballpark. Let's see a bunch of people down there at Xfinity Live while we're doing the show. Coming up, The Divide, live from noon to 1, balls, bats, and bets with TKO Timmy O'Keefe from 1 to 2 this afternoon. For Greg Murphy at Citi Field / in studio, Sam somewhere in CL City, I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Let's go, Phillies. Let's win this series, and let's have another great week of baseball here in the city of brotherly love.